Episode 15, Divine Intervention. In relationships, I've always known that there can be differences between a couple's thinking or standards, but those differences mustn't be so far apart that it becomes a problem. People can bend towards each other's needs, but there's only so far that you can bend. So if the gap becomes too large, then there's normally a major issue, and in most cases, it can become a bridge too far. In percentage terms, it can't go any further than 60-40. After that point, frustration, bitterness, or even anger steps in. Though mine and Debbie's views were very similar on virtually everything, our thoughts on our children and family were at totally different ends of the spectrum. Mine and Julie's thoughts were to encourage our children to fly, not to think about us, just to be happy. If they wanted to go and live in Outer Mongolia and we barely saw them or our grandchildren, then that was fine as long as they were happy and were living their lives the way that they wanted to. On the contrary, Debbie wanted her children to live in an aviary at the end of the garden. Two of her sons lived in close proximity and they were constantly in contact, whether it was phone calls, messages or sending videos and photos of the grandchildren. The constant messages of one kind or another and the visiting each weekend was slowly getting to me. As soon as a message came, everything would stop in our lives while Debbie read or saw what was going on within her family. It felt so claustrophobic, suffocating even. There was no separation. I started this relationship because I wanted to get to know Debbie, not because I wanted a new family. I got on really well with her sons and the family, but it was like a different world to the one that I was used to. It was totally different. Deep down, I knew it wasn't anybody's fault. Her sons had a close relationship with their mum and had kept her involved in their lives. They'd looked after their mother while she was single, included her in whatever they were doing. There was nothing wrong in that, but 3 into 2 doesn't go. Debbie was used to being single and just stopped what she was doing to catch up with the family when they called. But Debbie wasn't single anymore, and I felt she needed to give our relationship a chance. Give it her undivided attention as I had given mine to her. We only saw each other 3 times a week, and it never seemed like I could get to know Debbie without her dragging her family into our relationship. There needed to be a compromise. Something had to give. Everybody needed to bend a little. When it didn't ease up, I started to feel that maybe this was a mistake being with Debbie. Maybe the bond with her family was too strong. Maybe she couldn't let go. Another major difference was they were all too far reliant on each other, where my kids and family in general were totally self-reliant. At its height, the problem was constantly on my mind. I was welcome and included into the family, but there seemed to be no real time for our relationship. During the 3 days each week that we saw each other, I felt I could never relax. It seemed like it was never just me and Debbie. It was me, Debbie, and Debbie's family. To be truthful, Debbie was far too eager for me to like her family and for them to accept me. There was never a problem with me and Debbie's family, but inadvertently, she was causing one. She was slowly pushing me away from them because she was too insistent on pushing me towards them. I'd spoken to her about it, but she seemed to do little to change it. She just brushed it under the carpet, buried her head in the sand, hoping it would go away. I knew it wouldn't go away. Couldn't go away. I had doubts about the longevity of the relationship. Was being with Debbie the right choice for me? Was I always going to come second to her family? I was putting Debbie first, and if I was doing that, then there was no way I was going to accept coming second. Was the gap between the relationship with our own families too far apart? I didn't want to force Debbie away from her family. That's the last thing I wanted. But I couldn't put up with this much longer. Something needed to be done. A compromise was needed. I wasn't here to make up the numbers. I was here to find my new life partner. Life is precious. I know that better than most. Coming second wasn't an option. I'm a different person living a different life. When you feel that you could never be hurt the way that you've been hurt in your past, then that makes you less attached. You don't grab and hold on to things. You've already lost the most precious thing in your life. You're not desperate for something to work anymore. If it works, then great, but if it doesn't, then it's not meant to be. I've definitely become harder in my thinking since Julie died. Maybe I've inherited a bit of that hardness from her. One evening before leaving my home to drive to Debbie's, and for the first time since I'd met her, I really didn't want to go. I just couldn't be bothered. I honestly didn't know if I could continue this way. I was starting to think it might be a bridge too far. I left my home to go to Debbie's. Maybe 20 minutes into the drive, while I was on the motorway, something happened. My mind was so wrapped up in this scenario regarding Debbie and her family that I'd been driving totally on autopilot. When I say autopilot, I mean totally on autopilot, as in I hadn't remembered a single thing about the journey up to that point. Absolutely nothing. Then the following words awoke me from the trance. Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part. Nobody said it was easy. No one ever said it would be so hard. Oh, take me back to the start. Those words were the first thing I'd heard since leaving home. I instantly knew it was a sign. It was telling me not to give up, to get through this period of uncertainty. I instantly felt that touch better about the situation, rejuvenated just enough to make a difference. Enough for my mind to change track and think of the good in our relationship, not the bad. Enough to see the light at the end of the tunnel. A light that spelt out hope. 750 songs on that playlist on shuffle, and it's mine and Debbie's song from our first date that's played. I visualised us singing along to it in the car. I hadn't heard one word of any song before that point. I hadn't even realised that there'd be music playing in the car and that my mind is awoken to those lyrics. Later I thought, why wasn't I awoken to the start of the song, which in a way is very poignant and distinctive. As soon as you hear the first couple of notes, you know what song it is. No, I was awoken to those lyrics. It was a clear sign. The lyrics said it all. Neither of us are big Coldplay fans. In fact, our taste of music is completely different. I can't stand Debbie's choice of music. So for us to both love that song is quite odd. Especially Debbie. I didn't want to hurt Debbie. That was the last thing I've ever wanted to do. We had far too much going for us, but I needed to sort this problem out. I spoke to Debbie and told her what had happened on the way in the car. Slowly but surely, the issue resolved itself enough so it came back just within the viable 60-40 parameter. Debbie learned not to just stop what we were doing because a message had come through on her phone. She also started to put her phone and watch on silent at night. Everything seemed to calm down enough so I could accept the situation, get used to the change in lifestyle. It was a difficult time. It was one of those tests in life. Make or break, sink or swim, fight or flight, call it what you want. It was a time to take a deep breath, take a step back and look at the problem from a slightly different angle. It was time to be Fonzie. Be cool. You see things so differently when you're calm, but sometimes you need a little help. A little help from someone who's looking after you. Their job is to guide you, but your job is to realise that you're being guided and then act accordingly. Debbie is my ideal partner. She's an amazing person with the sunniest disposition I've ever known. She has this amazing zest for life and acts and looks so young for her age. She's grateful for everything that's good in her life. She never shouts, never argues, and appreciates everything that other people do for her. And on top of that, she's a really funny girl. Humour is the aphrodisiac of life. There'll never be another Julie. Julie's the mother of my children and the love of my life. but I'm much more suited to Debbie than I ever was to Julie. When Julie and I met, we forged a partnership. We were both young and raw. We were both unstable and had nothing. We fought many battles and climbed many mountains. We stuck together and formed a strong bond. It wasn't pretty or romantic at times, but we did extremely well for ourselves under the circumstances and brought two amazing children into a strong, stable and loving home. Looking back on it, we battled against the odds on so many occasions and survived. Whatever life threw at us, we stuck together and that just made us stronger. But make no mistake about it, we'd not been blessed with the easiest of rides. Debbie and I were as well suited as you could get. It was still very peculiar going out with someone new, but that was going to be the same with any girl. We had the chance to have a wonderful life together. Our children were all growing up and had strong relationships. We were settled in ourselves. We had very little debt between us. We could afford to travel and enjoy life. And most importantly, we cared for each other and got on so well. The situation I found myself with Debbie was completely different to the one I found myself when I first met Julie. I also knew that emotionally, we started this relationship from opposite ends of the spectrum. Debbie was full of excitement while mine was trepidation. She'd been hoping this moment would happen for years, yet mine was total uncertainty, while still recovering from heartbreak. But what I did know was, I'd been given a chance of an unbelievable second life with Debbie and her with me. We'd been put together, there was no disputing that. If we'd both written a wish list for a future partner, then most boxes would be ticked off. We'd been given a helping hand to find each other by somebody who cared for us, but they could only help so far. They could only edge us towards each other. We had to do the rest ourselves. Debbie contacted me after seeing my profile. In all the years that she's been doing dating websites, I'm the only person she's ever contacted. And if I wasn't a courteous person and replied to everybody who contacted me, whether I was interested in them or not, then I would have never have met Debbie, especially seeing that she was 13 years above the age limit I'd set. In all that time looking for my new soulmate, two things have stayed in the forefront of my mind. Be who you are, not who you want to be or who you think you need to be. And also the advice from my sister-in-law. Give older women a chance. They've got a lot to offer. Never truer words said. And I'm glad I was aware enough to hear and process them. Debbie's a medical secretary by profession. And though she's a little more open than most, like virtually all people involved in science, she's a sceptic regarding the spirit world, unless it's so-called fact and it doesn't exist. As I've mentioned before, I'm not one to try and convince anyone about life after death and spiritual activity. That's up to them. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but one morning, an indisputable sign was to make her think twice and make me smile. At Debbie's apartment, on the bedside cabinet on my side of the bed, is a framed photograph of her parents. Both her parents died over 25 years ago. The photo is displayed in portrait and is stood at the rear left-hand corner of the bedside cabinet on a 45-degree angle. Directly in front of the photo, about 4 or 5 inches away, stands a speaker displayed in landscape. It's not quite as high as the frame, but twice as wide. It's also sat on a 45-degree angle. The cabinet also has a bedside lamp and a couple of candles on the right-hand side. It's a lovely photo of her mum, stood beside her dad, as he sat on what I thought was a rock. I'd often looked at the photo, not studying it, just looking at her parents with the thought that they were looking back at me, as if the photo was alive and I was getting to know them. Before getting into the bed, I'd lightly tap the top of the photo frame and mentally tell them that I'd look after Debbie. One Saturday morning, I'd had a shower, and as I was getting dressed, I was asking Debbie about her parents and the origins of their families. Debbie was telling me that both sides were Jewish. Her father's side were Lithuanian, and though she was unsure of her mother's, she thought that they were from Russia or around that area. Immediately after she answered those questions, and I was now fully dressed, I picked up my phone from the front right-hand corner of the cabinet and turned to walk away. Just as I did, we both heard a noise. As I turned around, the photo of her parents was missing from the cabinet. It hadn't fallen down the back or the side of the cabinet. No, the photo was right in front of my feet, a good foot away from the front of the cabinet. There was no damage to the frame, and it had only made one sound, so it hadn't rolled. The frame couldn't have fallen down the side of the cabinet and then rolled, as there was a mirror stood up against the wall on that side. No, the picture had to jump over the speaker to land where it did. There's no other explanation. It happened the second both our backs were turned, and just after I'd been asking Debbie about her parents' heritage. This made her open her eyes to the possibility of the spirit world. Debbie has said that she'd been looking for someone like me for years, and that she thought her parents had brought me to her. When that photo frame landed at my feet, it didn't shock or startle me. It just made me smile. I felt it was an acceptance from Debbie's parents, a welcome to the family. But for me, it was a mum who had given the sign. Each time I looked at the photo prior to the event, it was Debbie's mum that I homed in on, the matriarch of the family, the leader. I feel I know her mum. I feel I'm on the same page as her. We share similar characteristics. After the incident with the photo frame, a few small spiritual things happened around Debbie. Nothing major or significant, but I think the photo incident had really opened her mind to the possibilities of spiritual contact. We're coming up to the start of December now, and I've booked a trip for next February. I'm going back to familiar surroundings. I'm going to take Debbie to the place that really kick-started my life again. We're going to the apartment in Drumnadrochit. Back to Scotland, my spiritual home. We both enjoyed each other's company on our holiday in Spain, in historical and amazing cities of Cordoba and Seville. But this will be totally different. Totally different. I've mentioned to Debbie about the feeling you get when you go north of Glasgow in Edinburgh. The way you find that you're a different person there, if you allow yourself to be. In a way, it'll be a test to see if we're on the same page. Is Debbie the type of person who's open enough to receive the messages from Scotland's raw and rugged landscape? Will she realise that after 61 years of living in the same area, she was only a car journey away from a magical land? A land where, like opening a door to an aviary, your mind can be set free. But before that, Debbie will be crossing the border for the first time in over 50 years as I'm taking her to the Christmas markets in Edinburgh. She's been to Edinburgh before, but not since she was a child. She's so excited about the trip, which is so lovely to see. She never thought she'd be doing things like this, seeing all types of different places, some on our doorstep, some not. This is what I wanted to do, bring a little excitement back into somebody's life, open their eyes to different possibilities. Some people might say, well, it's only Edinburgh. Edinburgh is a beautiful city that's absolutely steeped in history and culture, a place where you can learn so much and imagine how people lived so many years ago. We're truly fortunate to have amazing cities, so much history and diverse landscapes within the British Isles. There's a reason why these isles are packed with tourists, and it's not for the weather or the beaches. They don't come here to sit around the pool getting a tan. No, they come here to open their minds, to look and to learn. We stayed in a beautiful country hotel just outside Edinburgh. The following morning when we came down for breakfast, we were met with a lovely surprise. When we looked out the dining room window, we'd found that it snowed quite heavily overnight. All the grounds and trees were white, a real Christmas scene. How lucky are we? It truly added to the Christmas market and the feel around the city. Our trip to Edinburgh was amazing and another thing to stick in our mental scrapbook, but the following week, something very special happened. My first grandchild was born. I could only see it being a girl from the very start, and now she was here. I can't tell you how I felt about her being born, bar I was happy for Julie and my two mother-in-laws, but first and foremost, I was delighted for my daughter. It had been a massive and unexpected change to her life when her mum died. She handled the situation incredibly well and found a way to cope with the grief. She found a hidden strength. I'd noticed her pattern of survival, and though it had different elements to mine, whatever works for you, works for you. She had her fiancé for support, and together they did exactly what Julie and I did in the crisis. They stuck together and forged an unbreakable and impenetrable bond. When one was lacking, the other stepped up to the plate. There was no selfishness where one felt sorry for themselves and drew on the other's energy. No, they stuck together, supported each other and rode out the storm. Originally, they'd been looking for big venues for a wedding, but Julie's death had knocked the stuffing out of that idea. It just wouldn't be the same without her mum there. Now they had decided to start a family, and the birth of their daughter was an incredible lift for the family. We had a bit of Julie back. Another reminder. Life's cycle had started again. Where there's death, there's life. I kept talking to Julie before and after the birth, talking to her about our granddaughter as if she was stood next to me. I knew she was listening. I could feel that. During the pregnancy, everyone kept saying it was a shame that Julie wasn't here to see her grandchildren. Of course she was here. She was going to be a big part in her life. She could see her. She could see everything that went on with her. She just wasn't here in body. People kept telling me how I'd feel. The elation of being a grandfather. But I didn't feel that way. I was happy, but there was no massive joy as everyone had predicted. I don't know why, but I just didn't get that feeling. Maybe it was that I always expected to share this moment with Julie. Though I was with Debbie now, and she's more family orientated than most, it felt lonely being a grandparent, slightly awkward. It reminds you of what's happened. It felt very apparent that Julie should have been here to enjoy the moment. It drags you back to reality. In a way, I just felt selfish that I was here and she wasn't. How our lives had changed, and so had all our plans. This was one of the memorable moments in life that's meant to be shared. The next generation entering the world. Something that we started the process. The next link to the chain. Yes, there was no massive excitement. To be truthful, I'm not really into newborn babies. I like them when they're a bit older and start to get personality. But she was here now and that was great. Weird, but great. But my thoughts soon turned to Christmas. My second Christmas without Julie. My first Christmas with Debbie. And it would also be the first time that Debbie stayed at the house. What would Julie think of that? And was she going to tell me? You bet she was.